Welcome to Youth Beat Radio on WCRS Community Radio for Columbus. I'm your host, Green Chucks. Happy day! It's your host again, Green Chucks, who is a current student at Columbus State Community College. So welcome back to Youth Beat Radio. I want to inform all of you that I am conducting a research study on the effects of listening to youth. My hypothesis is that it will keep adults looking younger and feeling young at heart. I predict the side effects of listening to Youth Beat Radio might be having a positive outlook on life, less wrinkles, more smiles, less frowns, eating more fruits and veggies, and an increase in physical activity. Maybe that would include gardening. If you notice any of these side effects while listening to our show, please report back to us via email at youthbeat@osu.edu. On tonight's program, we have a youth narrative from Yi-Ann Lee, a freshman at The Ohio State University, an interview with an OSU student who worked for Campfire USA, rural Alaska, a movie review by Ohio State University student Mike Hodge, or as we refer to him, Mad Mike. We'll also have a hip and underground music review by Capital University student Jeff Morgan. First up, though, is an interview series by Jackie Bauman, a junior at The Ohio State University, on a topic that'll make you say, "What the?
What the?
Health!" A nutritional interview series where we quiz youth on their health knowledge.
Our question of the week this week is, what do you think are some signs and symptoms of domestic abuse?
Bruises, people being withdrawn, people being intimidated by others, isolation, being scared to talk with people.
Maybe you're a coworker, peers at work, and they are kind of bruised and everything. You kind of go up to them and ask them, you know, what's up with the bruises? And, oh, I fell down the steps. You know, just kind of avoiding everything, kind of staying, not socializing with people.
Bruises, isolation, intimidation, blaming themselves for the abuse, fear for themselves and maybe their families or their children, just fearful of, you know, they never can do anything right because it's wrong, you know, it's wrong in the abuser's eyes, and just scared all around.
I would say bruises and other kind of wounds and kind of withdrawing from friends and family.
One in every four women will experience domestic violence in her lifetime. According to a study researched by the Committee on the Judiciary United States Senate, domestic violence is the leading cause of injury to women between the ages of 15 and 44 in the United States. That's more than car accidents, muggings, and rapes combined. All right, that's it for
What the
Health!
I was extremely impressed that all the people Jackie interviewed identified signs of domestic violence. I am hopeful that this means our country is moving in the direction of elimination of domestic violence. All right, next up is a narrative from a freshman at The Ohio State University, Yi-Ann Lee, about what it feels like to be an international student.
It was as if a curtain had fallen down and new waves began rising with everything I had never seen. The people were different, the surroundings different, and the ways that I felt about things are different. All the new things infused me with an uplifting feeling, leading me to the discovery of a new self. The whole new start unfolded at the very moment I stepped onto the plane. I grew up in a family that gave me vision. I grew up in an atmosphere where I could stretch, breathe, grow, like the butterflies pictured on my wallpaper. They seemed to be flying to infinity. As time went on, I learned to follow my own intuition. The world is big. I am young. I want to fly as the butterfly. I want to try. Just like Samuel Woman had said, youth is not a time of life. It is a state of mind. So I stepped into the plane and flied across the Pacific Ocean. Back in my home country, Taiwan, life felt safe. It was like living in a little crystal ball from where I looked out upon the world. But here, in Columbus, Ohio, I have stepped out of my comfort zone. I have left the sanctity of my crystal ball. Reality has a new meaning to me. Everything I've ever known has suddenly spilled over, leaving with me a mess and an empty cup. I pick up things little by little, just like using the flat spoon in chemistry lab to put in powder. Measure to the third decimal after zero, to the test tube. There are times that I wobble and hesitate. Vexation, depression, and tiredness are simply propellants that push me to try even harder, socially and academically. There are times when I find America awkward. The differences of culture, habit, and way of doing things. But here I am, proudly carrying the treasure of youth, state of mind, exploring the big, big world. If I had never flung away, I would never have known the true meaning of the word, potential. It is another form of self-expectation, devoting myself to 4 years of college life in a foreign country. I expect to meet different people, practice a different language, and learn new ways of doing things. Though it might be hard in the first place, one needs to sacrifice to be beautiful, like the most delicate wood carving, with countless pieces of wood carved out. I find a new page of my life here. Uncertain it might be, but exciting and happy. This new page, so far, is quite empty, but as time evolves, I believe it will be filled with the colors of passion, the words of knowledge, and the underlines of experiences. The curtain has risen. I am ready.
Yi An, you are courageous to have traveled all the way from Taiwan to the U.S. to go to school alone. What an empowering and beautiful story. Thank you. Next up is me, interviewing Kylie Moore, a student at The Ohio State University. I'll be interviewing him about his experience in the good old state of Alaska.
Go north to Alaska, go north, the rush is on.
Campfire USA, rural Alaska, developed as a way of addressing the drowning rate and has evolved to include educating youth about boating safety and healthy lifestyle skills.
We come to our council fire with measured tread and slow.
Campfire USA is a youth development organization, much like many of the other ones, the Boys and Girls Club, for example, 4-H, to a lesser extent, FFA. However, Campfire USA specializes in after-school programs. The program that I did with Campfire USA, the Rural Alaska program, is a unique program to the state of Alaska in that it's not an after-school program. The staff actually go into native villages in Alaska and put on a day camp for the native youth for 2-week increments.
Wow, that's really cool. What do you guys teach them?
Our main focus is cold water safety and swimming. But we do everything from outdoor recreation, arts, sports, crafts, games, songs. We go camping. We have campfires. Pretty much anything that would be associated with a camping program, we have. Only it's very unique because the experience goes to the kids, whereas the kids are unable to go to the experience.
So from your perspective, what is the economic status like for these rural Alaskans?
That's actually a really interesting question because according to the poverty levels in the lower 48, almost everyone would be considered poor or impoverished. If you really get to know the Alaskans or the natives there, and they're not poor. They have everything they need. They don't have jobs. Their average income mainly is the checks that they get from the Alaskan state government for the oil royalties. Most of them live under a life of subsistence. So their job is going and fishing and going and hunting and picking berries and getting themselves ready for the winter to survive another year.
In our community, the hunting is still very much a big part of people's lives. When our people go hunting, it's usually for caribou or seal, walrus, whales.
It's really a very, very interesting lifestyle because they're very happy. They have everything they need. They have a greater sense of family, a greater sense of community for it. and they don't really rely too much on material things. There is an influx of what I'm going to call white culture, for lack of a better term, to where the televisions and some of the more mainstream ideals are leaking into their culture, which causes a cultural confusion. The youth see how things are functioning on TV, and the youth want that to be reality. The adults are trying to tell the youth, you know, we're a traditional people. This is how we've been doing it for years. This is how we're going to keep on doing it. And the youth are more or less rejecting that or taking bits and pieces and trying to combine them together.
Do you know if any drugs become an issue? Like smoking, drinking?
Yes, and this is one of the more sadder points about the native villages. With their lifestyle, since there isn't that much for them to do and there's not that much recreational activities for them, there is a great number of them that smoke and that drink. And though most of their the villages we go to are dry villages, there is a lot of drinking. Not to put a bad light on the villages, because I really don't. They're wonderful places. They really are. But if you could take the number of statistics about youth drinking, youth smoking, and drugs, risky behaviors, other things, you could pretty much double them for any given part of the U.S. and apply them to a village, and it would be about accurate.
Do many of the kids go to college, or it's pretty much kind of how to sustain themselves?
A lot of their education, they're required to do the formal education up through high school or until 18 years of age, but a lot of what they do is subsistence. Many youth in the villages don't want to go to college because they want to stay in their community and they want to live under subsistence like their parents have and their grandparents have and just kind of continue their native ways.
Are they considered Native Americans or Eskimos?
They're Native Alaskans. Eskimo, to some natives, is considered a derogatory term, and its history is rooted back into when the Russians actually came over to Alaska and discovered the natives there. And they call themselves Eskimos, they joke with themselves, but it's, as a politically correct term, it's Native Alaskans.
I will never say Eskimo, I mean, never say that word that I should not say ever again.
To be more specific, though, you have, I believe, four different tribes in Alaska. You have Inuit, Yupik, Inupiaq, and the Aleuts, which are the four major tribes in Alaska. They break up the territories mainly by language barriers.
We'll be singing the owl song.
Now, when I was looking at the website, it said specifically for the campfire program, you guys focus on swimming.
Yes.
Why is that?
Rural Alaska program was initially started a few years back because of alarming number of infant mortalities due to cold water and drowning issues, to where if the youth were walking and they accidentally fell in cold water, the chances would be that they wouldn't survive it because they don't know how to swim or they don't know how to handle cold water. An alarming rate of youth trying to help other youth would fall in, and then you'd have a double mortality.
You know, I was looking at the website and I was looking at these pictures of these little kids like in the water playing, splashing around. It looks so happy and so carefree. So is the water that cold even in the summer?
Yes. Depending on where you are, yes it is. Now you have some of your kids come out and they're all shivering and their teeth are chattering, and you ask them like, are you cold? And they look at you and they smile and they shake their head no and they run right back in the water. And it's the craziest thing because it took me so long to get used to the water. I would stand in it knee deep for 5 minutes and then have to get out because my calves were cramping up.
Did you get to take part in any ceremonial celebrations or anything like that?
Being part of this program means we actually assimilate into the villages for the 2 weeks that we're there. So we went to all of the funeral festivities. Instead of having a period of mourning right after the funeral, they actually have a celebration of life. So we got to experience native drumming, native dancing, which were both really, really cool. One thing that was interesting is me and my group, we were sitting on the side watching, and then some of the natives came over and pulled us in and said, you guys need to dance too. So we kind of got thrown in the middle of native dancing and had no idea what we were doing, but the villagers were great about it, and they kind of helped us through it and showed us what to do. And
so if people are interested in doing some internships with youth or camping, where can they find these resources?
The best website I found is the American Camping Association website, and that's where you can, again, you can build a resume and submit it and look for different jobs. But with that website, they're not specifically strictly camps. They're also youth development. So you can do residential camping, day camping. They have positions when the colleges have like summer workshops that you can work. So it's a really, really good resource for almost any non-formal education position that you would like.
I really like that interview. You know, after talking to Kyle, I almost want to work for Campfire USA. Well, the only thing stopping me is that cold water. I like hot temperatures. All right, coming up next is Mad Mike, a student at The Ohio State University who will be doing a movie review of The Social Network.
Good evening, folks. On tonight's Chopping Block, I've got David Fincher's latest, The Social Network. So, does it make the cut? So when somebody thinks about Generation Y and everything that we've done for today's society, Facebook has got to be near the top of that list. I mean, how many of us can go a day, let alone a week, without Facebook? And since we're also the first generation to truly grow up with the internet, I feel this film came out at the darn near perfect time. So let's get down to it. How does it fare? And I'm here to say, this is essential viewing for Gen Y. Aaron Sorkin's script puts you right into the heads of the geniuses that founded Facebook, and the acting makes you feel like you were right next to them as they broke down barriers and made history. Oh, and by the way, Jesse Eisenberg can play Michael Cera's roles better than Michael Cera can himself. And for that matter, Justin Timberlake has truly arrived as a great actor. His and Eisenberg's performances are worth the cost of admission alone. But overall, the real beauty of this film is how it encapsulates the feel of the information age, and of the children who came of age during it. I really wanted to throw my fist into the air and shout, because here's the story of one of us, a mere college student who took an idea and changed the entire world with it. This is more than a film, it's a talisman of our generation, a film we should all see, and realize that any of us can realize our dreams and truly make a difference. Sure, the film is Oscar material, but it's also a time capsule of the previous decade, and that alone makes it a must-see in anyone's book. Well, guys, I'm about to spend, so I'll catch you all back here next time. So as I always say, so long, farewell, auf Wiedersehen, and good night.
There's a sad sort of clanging from the clock in the hall, and the bells in the steeple, too. An absurd little bird is popping out to say cuckoo.
Why do people get addicted to Facebook? Is it because they're so nosy? I don't know. I just hope kids and college students are finding time to study. All right, our last segment of the night is with Jeff Morgan, a Capital University student, with his segment, Listen to This.
Hello, this is Jeff Morgan. Welcome to this week's Listen to This segment. This week's artist is Amanda Diva. Now, Amanda Diva was born as Amanda Seals, and she started her career as a child actress for Nickelodeon sitcom My Brother and Me. Later on, she began to do music and poetry. She attended SUNY at Purchase, where she studied theater and where she started working on her spoken words. In 2002, she appeared on Def Jam Poetry and recited one of her original poems. In the year of 2004, she released her first mixtape entitled It's Bigger Than Hip Hop. Volume 1. She also hosted a radio show on Sirius Radio, and since then she has continued to work on her music and poetry and also works of art. Amanda Diva has a new EP coming out called Technicolor Lover, and this is her first single off it entitled Manchild. Enjoy.
get right. How you expecting things to change when you ain't changing your life? Leaning on your team, but they some subpar players. No follow through or hustle, they steady missing layups. You rely on muscle working out to get your weight up, but they be posted on the block sipping Cavassier up. He don't see it, but he's aware of the world, comprehensive of the scope and the oppression in it. But he don't get that those boys are his fam, though they'll run guns blazing when the shit's the fan. Our man children pissing on a promised land, only seeds planted within the womb of a woman. I know you need your mans and them to have your back, but you know, and I know, they also hold you back.
Alright, alright, that wraps Youth Beat Up this week. Signing off is Green Chucks. Please tune in next week for another edition of Youth Beat Radio.
You're never too old to learn, my son. You're never too old to learn, my son. No. Learn, my son, and this you will know as you grow.
Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio universities, high schools, and youth organizations. It is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the show do not necessarily represent those of the station or the sponsors. For more information, check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu. or Facebook, or email us at youthbeat@osu.edu.